Hey, gang, I'm here to tell you about Stitcher Smart Radio. You might ask yourself, why Stitcher? Well, with Stitcher's free mobile app, you can listen to your favorite radio programs and podcasts anytime and anywhere you want. Stitcher's wide breadth of programming lets you choose from the latest in news, sports, talk, business, and entertainment from the media industry's premier content providers. It's the easiest way to stay connected to your world while on the go. Receive news that's important to you in a format that fits into your busy day. That's Stitcher Smart Radio. Look it up in your app store. All right, now let's get down.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here?
I'm Johnny, I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I have a great show for you guys today, a doubleheader. I'll be talking on the phone briefly, or not briefly, but for like 20 minutes, with director Penelope Spheeris and her daughter slash business partner, Anna Fox. And then the Peterson brothers, Alex and Glenn, stop by. They have a new album out. We have a great conversation about it and about what they've been up to and balancing being like teenage rock guys out playing shows while they're still in high school and making good grades. They're fantastic guys, amazing musicians. If you don't know them, stick around. You're going to enjoy this. First up, though, the Austin Film Society is presenting a screening of the Decline of Western Civilization documentaries, part 1 through 3, and also the 1983 film Suburbia, all directed by the great Penelope Spheeris. So they're doing screenings on Friday, August 28th and Saturday, August 29th at the Marquesa Theater. Anna and Penelope will both be on hand to talk about the movies afterwards, doing Q&As about all the movies, including Suburbia. So Decline of Western Civilization, if you want to find out what happened to bands like Odin and London, we talk about it in the thing, but I mean, you definitely have your own questions. Come on down and find out. I know that these movies have been a part of... especially part 1 and 2, you know, they've been a part of my musical upbringing. They're movies that you get together with your friends and watch, movies that you saw late on cable in the early 90s and late 80s, and you found out about these bands you had never heard of. That's where I first really kind of heard the Circle Jerks and stuff. I remember seeing it written on people's notebooks and stuff, but I'd never heard them, actually. And I heard them in the first Decline of Western Civilization. Okay, so check it out. Penelope made these movies. And the third one had never had a theatrical release or been released on DVD, which is more about gutter punks, less about really a music scene and more about these kids that are homeless. It does have music stuff in it, but it's a really intense and beautiful movie. And anyway, Anna Fox was the one that got it together to release it, to re-release it. So it's all repackaged. You can find it on Shout Factory. We just go to shoutfactory.com. And you can buy the box set, which comes with a beautiful book and a DVD of extras, and lots of extras. I actually bought the Blu-ray, I think, the week that it came out. I was on my way to rehearsal, and to rehearse, with my friend Amy Edwards, who is involved with the Austin Film Society. She found out Penelope Spheeris was coming in. She was like, oh, I know Johnny likes this. So she hooked us up. So I want to thank my friend Amy Edwards and Charlotte over there at the Austin Film Society for setting this up. I want to thank Penelope and Anna for taking the time to talk to me on the phone. And I'm actually going to these screenings on Friday, August 28th and Saturday, August 29th, presented by the Austin Film Society at the Marquesa Theater. All right, you can get your tickets by going to austinfilm.org/decline. So go do that. Okay, let's talk to Penelope Spheeris and Anna Fox. This is a great conversation, even though it's kind of short and on the phone. I got to talk to them about stuff, and there's a lot of stuff about Penelope I wanted to talk to her about, so maybe when she's here, I can find a way to get to talk to her some more. All right? I'd like to thank them, and I'd like to once again thank Amy and Charlotte, the Austin Film Society, for helping me put this together. Here's my conversation with Penelope Spheeris and Anna Fox, followed by my conversation with the Peterson brothers. All right? Let's get down. Uh, Very nice to meet you guys, and congratulations. I, as a fan of these movies, am so stoked that they're finally out. You don't know how many searches I've gone on over the last few years looking for them. And I think I think I got it either the day after it came out or the day before. So I've been watching him.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it's very cool. And Penelope, before we get started, one of my best friends is Will Sexton, and you did a video for him.
Oh, I sure did.
Yeah, and
Will and his brother,
Charlie.
Hello.
I definitely will. Well, Will sent me a text, and he said, that was a long time ago. I do remember how gracious and patient he was to me as a lost child.
Oh.
And he said to say hello, and he's doing well. He's out there playing with his wife, and he's touring all over the country.
Oh, that's awesome. You know, that's so cool. I remember a great story about him, and is that when they were growing up, they kind of grew up in bars, you know? So he was telling me how he would really feel comfortable sleeping on a pool table.
Yeah.
That's like me falling asleep in the back of the whiskey in the booth.
Yeah.
Is that was that during the filming of the second Western Civilization, the decline of Western Civilization?
No, the first one, when she was in that time period. I would go to shows with her, and I was about 9 years old, and, you know, past my bedtime, I'd fall asleep in the little red booths in the back of the
whiskey. I should be ashamed.
I don't know. I mean, I grew up the same way, and I think that it makes us a little more artistic, you know, a little crazier.
Yeah, I know. That's good. I'm glad that way you take my guilt away. Thank you, Johnny.
No problem. Hey, Anna, can I start with you and ask you, how did this come about to get this re-released?
Well, my mom about 4 years ago asked if I would come work for her. She had a lot of stuff to, you know, needing to be done that she couldn't handle all herself. And so she asked me to come work for her. And I said, well, the only way I will come work for you is if the first thing that we do is get the Decline movies out. So, but then she turned around and said, okay, fine, but then you have to do all the work. So,
so you know,
bouncing ball.
To work with her in what capacity?
Well, originally just to take care of all the, you know, she owns properties and just to, you know, keep sort of daily life.
Yeah, run the business.
Functions going.
Yeah.
But I said,
well,
I'm
not incapacitated, okay?
No, it's a heavy load.
Well, I mean, yeah, the thing is I take care of a lot of people, so, and pay for various, you know, family members and other people, and so I have all that. I got scripts I'm working on. I got projects in development. But basically, I didn't even, you know, I didn't think to do the Decline movies. It was Anna that said, you've got to do that first.
But didn't people everywhere, like for years, stop you and be like, hey, when is this going to happen? Where can I find this?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
She would get emails to her you know, website email. You know, asking for it, begging for the movies to be released. And she would say, can you reply to them and let them know we're working on it? And I said, no, I'm not going to reply to them and let them know we're working on it. I'm just going to take that time and actually work on it. And then they'll get their answer when we're done.
I forgot about that. You're so
As in, here's your product that you've been asking for. I don't have time to sit and answer those emails.
Right.
Ooh, she's kind of kick-ass like me used to be.
You're funny.
This is great having both of you on. So what all did you do to the movies? Like, you cleaned them up or?
Well, yeah, we did 2K restoration on the original negative. And that was mostly a part I set in on because I'm real particular about the timing and the look of it all. And Anna is the one that, she was there for a lot of the timing and everything, but also she's the one that worked on the extras because I honestly couldn't handle it.
Right. Well, the extras are great, and it actually answered one of my questions about Decline 2, but can I, on behalf of my other musician friends, I'm a musician as well, that came up watching that movie, the scene...
It's either got to be the orange juice or the vodka.
No. That I do have a question about that, but I think that one's pretty self-explanatory. What I want to talk about is Paul Stanley, because When you first see that movie, before you're really in the business, you're like, wow, that guy wakes up with three girls in a bed. And that's how he conducts an interview. But then as you get older and you start figuring out who you are as a person and you yourself as are an artist and you do interviews, you're like, whose idea was that? Like, how did that, I saw in the extras that obviously they were there when you showed up, right? The ladies?
Oh, when I showed up?
Yeah.
No, what happened was when Paul showed up, we had the camera all set up and I had the girls already there.
Oh, okay.
And then he took me aside. I remember he took me into this bedroom and said, we sat on the bed and he goes, Penelope, those girls are not good looking enough that you have here. Yeah. So I said, well, I don't have any more girls, you know? And he goes, hold on a minute. And he calls the Playboy Mansion. So we had to wait until the girls came down. Yeah.
That is amazing. He's an interesting cat. He's a very quotable guy. He knows how to speak in quotes.
Well, yes, he does. And here's the thing. I'm really glad that Anna put all these, strung all the entire interviews together, because that's the extras for Decline 2, because it's actually being more fair to Paul. I think I was not fair to Paul when I cut the movie. I think I grabbed little pieces and, you know, he said that he was trying to be funny during the whole thing, but it didn't turn. You know, you weren't laughing with him. You might have been laughing at him in the
exactly.
movie. But if you watch the extras, then you're laughing with him.
Yeah, yeah. You're
really
in on the joke.
It really is more fair to Paul because he's a good dude and he's really smart and he's really cool. And I'm glad that now people can see it right.
That's good. That's good. It was interesting seeing in the extras as well. I got to see some of the panels that you did. And it was interesting seeing Nader from London on there. And it's interesting to see that they're still playing, and it's good to see that they're still playing and out there doing it. How many?
Yeah, Anna's more in touch with those guys actually than me because. What's Nader up to, Anna?
Yeah,
London. Nader's still got as much energy as he did back then. I don't know how he does that, but he does.
Well, he got clean now too, so that helps.
Yeah,
and then, he's still doing London. They play shows, and he and his girlfriend just adopted a dog from me.
Oh, that's awesome.
I did not know that.
Yeah, well, from Pet Orphans through Suzanne, I got him.
I thought you were going to say a kid, and I'm like, oh, you had an extra one?
No, I got an extra dog. I got lots of extra dogs.
So, well, then, Anna, let me ask you, what happened to Odin?
Oh my gosh! I talked to the brothers, Duncan brothers. I talked to Sean a bit.
Is that the drummer and guitar player?
Yeah, so there's this jam night on Wednesdays in Hollywood at Lucky Strike. They're doing a big one next week with Gene Simmons and Johnny Depp. But anyway, so Sean goes to that a lot, so I see him. And the first night that Sean and Jeff were going to be, and the other brother actually, the twin brother, Jeff's twin brother, were going to be, it's a jam night where they like rotate like 40 different musicians doing covers. And when they announced that Jeff and Sean were there, the guy, of course, has to, you know, say, and they're from Odin, Odin, Odin.
Oh, God.
That's one of the weirdest parts of the movie because it's just that Ghazari guy saying it. And then he gets that girl. That, man,
yeah.
Penelope, I got to tell you something. There's a level of humanity that you bring out in each of the movies that I didn't really get until watching it now in my 40s. After seeing it when I was a kid and kind of laughing because it was especially the second one was something that you watched with your friends. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Everyone got together and got stoned and like, oh, let's watch Western Civilization. All right. And you're laughing at everyone, but there is a you captured their humanity so well and you have a really great heart.
Well, thank you. That is the ultimate compliment. And I have to say, I got it from Gypsy, my mother.
Oh, that's...
And, yeah, I swear to God, like, my mom, everybody loved her, and through my life, I've always thought, well, if I could just be loved as much as my mother was, I would feel like I am a success. So to hear that compliment is so fine. Thank you so much, Johnny.
Well, you're welcome. It really sort of climaxes in the third one, because that one's just so, like... I mean, did you fear for Anna? Like, when you were making that film and you were hanging out with those kids and those situations, like, mm-hmm. I mean, I could see as a parent, it would make me really nervous and frightened.
Well, I've always been extremely kind of overprotective of Anna, to the point where, you know, she's just like, leave me alone, you know? and I think it's because my mother was never protective of me. She never knew where I was. She never knew what I was doing. She never cared what I was doing. She just let me go. And in a way, that's fabulous, okay? In another way, kids need guidance, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, they really do.
Yeah.
My mom didn't go to my high school graduation, okay? I mean, none of the meetings, nothing. So I turned it around. So when I had Anna, I was like extremely protective and caring and trying to, you know, be there all the time, you know.
Yeah, people that didn't know my mom back then, they thought, oh, she must be so like cool with you and like you must get to go do whatever you want. I'm like, I've got the strictest parent out of all of my
right.
friends. And
yeah.
The reason I believe is because, you know, her and I hung out at the same clubs. We knew a lot of the same people. She knew the real deal about what was going on. She was there. She
right.
saw it firsthand. Whereas other parents just, you know, they're going out, my kids, whatever.
Right.
And, you know, I think that's why.
Right. Your mom was too hip to, my mom was the same way. It's like she didn't, there was nothing I was going to do that she was, you know, where she might not show up. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It kind of lets the kid know that you care. You know, and I think that's good, because if you look at the decline three, you'll see that a lot of parents from those kids in that movie, they just didn't care.
That's right.
And they were very and they were cruel to their children, and their children either got kicked out or left on their own.
Yeah.
And that really turned out to be what decline three was about, is about, you know, the gutter punks, the kids who were out on the street, and they took on that punk rock ethic, but, you know, it's weird because I wrote Suburbia in 1983.
Right.
And if you look at Suburbia and Decline 3, it's kind of like the same movie, only one's a narrative and one's a documentary.
Right.
And I don't know how that happened, whether I saw the future or whether the kids saw the movie and did that, or if it's just kind of some kind of insane cosmic synchronicity. I don't know. But together, those movies are bizarre to me.
Yeah, totally. There's another movie that's kind of like that even came out later, that movie Kids.
Uh-huh,
you know
exactly.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
You know what's interesting is when you, there's a part in three where you ask that cop if he makes fun of the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And his answer is just so awkward, and he realizes
that
he does.
Yeah, because he does.
Yeah, he knows he does. He knows everyone does. And
yeah.
that really touched me, because it was just I don't know, that movie really I felt it. I don't want to say like it hurt me, but there was a lot of sadness.
Yeah.
Do you know what came of everyone that you? That was there? I mean, do you stay?
Yeah, I mean, of all three of those movies, the people in Decline 3 are the people that I'm personally most in touch with.
Right.
Anna's more in touch with the people from the first and second Decline, but the people in Decline 3, to me, are my family. And just, you know, like, knowing them changed my life. You know, I became a foster parent because of knowing them.
Yeah, I don't see how you couldn't.
And I had five foster kids, you know.
Yeah.
And it made me turn my back on Hollywood and go, I don't need that. That is so vapid, so nothing, so actually just anti-life, you know. So it was a good thing that I did that movie, and it's a tragedy it didn't get released before, but, you know, you don't know if something's bad or good until some time has passed, is what I always say. And honestly, if I could pick, if it could have been released back then or now, I'm going to say now.
Yeah. Well, that's good. That's good. That was a really meaningful movie. How about those, the Hollywood movies that you did?
How about them?
How about them? I was a huge fan of Wayne's World. I believe I saw that the day that it came out. Let me ask you a question. Was it your idea to use Bohemian Rhapsody in that?
Actually, no. It was in the script, but it was my idea to have them sitting in the car headbanging.
Yeah.
I can take credit for that.
Yeah.
And Mike was a little uncomfortable with it because we had to do a lot of different takes, you know?
Sure.
Oops, what was that?
I don't know.
Is somebody dialing?
It's a mystery. No, I'm not even touching my phone.
I don't
know.
It's
not me.
it's the Wayne's World fans. Anyway.
It's Mike Myers.
Yeah, but it was a fun movie to make, and, you know, I was my first studio movie, and then I did a bunch after that. After that, I could only do comedies. So,
right.
I don't know. I'm not complaining, but... you know, if I would have had my way in my career, I would have done all movies like Suburbia.
Right.
But I could never, I got scripts sitting on the shelves here if anybody wants to make one. But I couldn't get my movies made after I did Wayne's World. I could just do comedies. So I said, screw it, just pay me the money and I'll do the comedy. So I did that during the 90s. And then I got sick of it in the late 90s and went and did Decline 3.
It must have been so weird because it's so, the big studio movies... Obviously, like budget-wise and like payoff-wise, they're night and day compared to documentaries.
Oh, totally. But they're also night and day in terms of sensibility. And
sure.
You know, you're talking about you saw a lot of heart in the films.
Oh, well, so much.
Again, night and day. You don't have a lot of heart in Hollywood. It's actually the opposite of that.
No. Well,
there's a bunch of backstabbing scumbags.
Yeah, it's rough. It's rough, but you still have to stay out there to work, huh?
Say it again?
It's your home, Hollywood, right?
Well, geographically, yeah.
Right,
but
right.
But not, you know, spiritually, I ain't no Hollywood person. I don't think I was ever comfortable there. I mean, I get invited to these luncheons and shit, and I don't even, you know, it's like, I can't relate to anybody in the room.
Yeah. I understand that too. I am that kind of person.
I mean, they sat me next to Keanu Reeves one time, and that was kind of cool. But other than that, I was like, no, I'm sorry, I just don't know what I'm doing here.
Yeah. What about you, Anna? Are you comfortable in those situations?
In
you know,
Hollywood situations?
Yeah.
You know what? this sounds terrible. I'm like. Too comfortable to the point where I'm like, whatever. Like, people always go, oh, you must go and do so many amazing things. And it's like, yeah, I'd rather go rescue a dog. Like, it's that's much more exciting to me than any celebrity or any Hollywood anything.
Oh, I've taught her well.
Yeah. How many dogs?
It just cracks me up how the normal person, or the normal person, how most people... perceive Hollywood as being so glamorous and wonderful. It just is like such a lie.
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird and uncomfortable. That's what I get from it.
Yeah, totally. Good way to put it.
Yeah, that's the way it's been for me when I've been there, and that's why I'm here, I guess, in Austin.
I don't know who's comfortable in Hollywood, you know, they're just pretending.
That's true.
Hey, Johnny, we have a 9 o'clock call.
Okay.
I think we should...
Let's start wrapping this up.
We can talk more if you want later.
Yeah, that would be great. I have to leave to a gig in Houston by like 2, but if you guys do have time, I would love to get you back. But real quick, I just want to talk about you're doing the event at the Marquesa Theater on August 28th and 29th. They'll be screening all three of the Decline of Western Civilization movies and Suburbia. And
yeah.
Are you doing Q&As after each one?
I'm not sure how they have it scheduled. I think that I'm probably going to, I don't know, how many Q&As can you listen to me for? You know what I mean? It's like maybe I'm doing one or two. I don't know. I'll do whatever they ask me to do because they pay for my plane ticket.
Right.
No, I'm just kidding. But I will do whatever they need, that's for sure. And, you know, I actually went and bought an extra day there myself because Austin is so cool.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I wanted Anna to be able to see it, and I could hang out more. So there
you go. Great. Well, I will be there at least one of them because I'm off that weekend, and I'm really excited.
Will you find us?
I will hope. Yeah, hopefully I will come up and introduce myself for sure.
Cool.
So,
nice to meet you, Johnny.
Yeah, very nice to meet both of you. A real honor to talk to you, Penelope, and you too, Anna. Thank you so much for doing the show.
All right. Thank you.
All
right, you bye, take
guys.
Care.
You too. It takes some paper to shake you. Ain't no choice to run and get it done. Yeah. Penelope Spheeris and Anna Fox. Don't forget, Friday, August 28th and Saturday, August 29th, Austin Film Society presents the Decline of Western Civilization screenings. All three parts, and also Penelope's film, Suburbia, made in 1983. It's all taking place at the Marquesa Theater right here in Austin, Texas. Tickets are available at austinfilm.org/decline. And if you do not live in Austin, you want to just buy the box set, which I did. I went to Waterloo here in Austin, Texas, and I bought it the day after it came out. You can pick this up at shoutfactory.com. It's available on Shout Factory. And go to shopfactory.com and look up Decline of Western Civilization. You can get all three movies, and it comes with an extra DVD and a book. So thank you so much to my friend Amy Edwards, Charlotte over at the Austin Film Society for setting this up, Penelope and Anna for taking the time. I'm going to go, so maybe you'll see me there. If you didn't like all the questions I asked, you have questions for yourself, think you could do a better job, why don't you go to it? Because there's a Q&A with Anna and Penelope after the movies, okay? All right, so let's move on to our next guests, the Peterson Brothers. They have a brand new self-titled album that came out this August, produced by Michael Freeman. They're out there playing shows all over the country. They're young guys. They're carrying on a tradition of blues that this city has made. This is our musical tradition, is the blues. It gets passed down from guys to guys like Stevie Ray Vaughan, Charlie Sexton, Ian Moore, Gary Clark Jr., and now the Peterson Brothers carrying the torch. Alex, 16 on bass, Glenn, 18 on guitar and vocals. They're from Bastrop, Texas. You might have seen them throughout they've opened for B.B. King, they've opened for Buddy Guy, the Fabulous Thunderbirds, Los Lonely Boys, all kinds of people. They play every Monday at the Continental Club at 6:30 here in Austin, Texas, but they also tour all over the country. In fact, this just in September, they'll be in Virginia, Ohio, and Arkansas. So you want to find out where they're playing, just go to petersonbrothersband.com or you can pick up their album there. You can also find it on iTunes. These guys are fantastic. They're super humble. They're super nice. Their mom raised really great people. They do really well in school. And we have a great conversation. They're super polite. And I think they might have been, you know, a little closed at first, but then they opened right up. And we had a great conversation. Sweet guys. Get out there and see this band. Get out there and pick up their record. They're carrying the torch. They're the next generation of what this city has brought. You can catch them every Monday night, as I said, at the Continental Club at 6:30 if you're in Austin, Texas. It's a happy hour show. Go after work. Have a good time. And don't forget, tomorrow night, Saturday, August 22nd, they will be at the Mucky Duck in Houston. So all of you that are listening, August 22nd, Saturday, the Mucky Duck, Houston. Get out there and see them. You'll get to see them close up and in person. Get up there and tell them you heard about it on How Did I Get Here, and they will probably give you a high five, okay? So sit down and enjoy my conversation with Alex and Glenn Peterson, otherwise known as the Peterson Brothers. Let's get down.
That buggies and a bunch of stuff over in that shop is coming out too.
So. Yeah, what's it like living out there?
It's nice. It's nice. Yeah, it's relaxing.
Yeah. Were you guys unharmed by the fires and stuff?
Yeah, we live in town. We knew almost everybody out there. I mean, we knew a ton of people out that way. So that's pretty much where people live. Majority of the people we know live.
Yeah.
Out in the woods. Out in the woods, kind of. So.
Yeah. Hey, Alex, you play in the jazz band?
Yes, sir.
That's insane.
Well, we both did.
But yeah, I think not anymore.
I'm not sure about since he graduated, but like now this year we're trying to do it again, but not a lot of kids signed up. So, but hopefully hopefully.
What do you mean? Not a lot of kids signed up for jazz band, so you might not be able to do it.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I'm like, there's only three kids, and I'm one of the three, I think. So, but I'll try and tell people so we can try and keep the class.
Yeah,
I know I'm doing it when I go to college. I'm gonna be in the jazz band.
Yeah, where are you going to school?
Over at Houston Tillerson.
Okay, so awesome. So you guys are still continuing the studies, even though I see that you've got like traveling on your schedule and stuff. You're still.
Yes, sir.
Are they cool with you at school leaving, definitely. Alex?
Yes, sir.
And they were cool with you leaving too, Glenn?
I'm going to talk to them because I'm going to a completely different school because I've been dealing with the high school and they've been cool with it, but I'm pretty sure they'll be working with me soon.
They should. Sure, are you are you going to go for a degree in music?
Yes, sir. Right
well,
now,
like an
that or business or so, something like that. So
yeah.
Got 4 years to decide. So,
Are you excited?
I'm pretty excited. It's going to be fun. It's going to be different. I can't wait just to see what it's about.
It is going to be different. Are you still going to live in Bastrop?
I'll be back and forth. They have a dorm on campus for me. So, like, I'll probably stay the other days. I got, like, class at, like, 8 in the morning or something. But most of the time, I'll be coming back and forth.
What are you looking at? Classical guitar?
I don't know. Just whatever they have up there, really. So,
How versed are you? Like, how much guitar stuff do you know, Glenn?
I try to dive into
like what different styles is what I mean. Sorry.
I mean, as far as just a player, just a little bit of everything. I mean,
we definitely have like the funk and blues thing.
Oh yeah,
like,
that's my main. But yeah, that and a lot of jazz stuff too. And I mean, really, I have an appreciation for everything.
Yeah.
Oh, mm-hmm. Everything overall, appreciation for it. So.
That's good. Yes, even sir. Like, do you guys listen to EDM music at all? Like, is there some Skrillex going on in your life?
Not a whole lot of that, but I mean, we listen to pretty much everything. I mean, there's not a whole lot that you could turn on in the car. Like, I'll be riding with somebody, they'll turn it on in the car, anything they listen to, I'll just be like, turn it off. So, I mean, I have appreciation for everything, but as a player, I think just anything with, and not, you know, somebody that knows what they're doing and just, you know, jamming, I can get into that, so...
You guys are as nice as you seem when you see you play.
Oh, man. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Your parents did a good job raising you. You guys have other brothers and sisters?
Oh, we have one older brother, and he actually went to the same university I'm going to, and he graduated in 2012. Right, Mom?
It's
8, 9, 10, 11. Yeah, around 2011, 2012.
What, is he in the music?
Mm-mm. He's a business major.
Okay.
He works over at Seton. So.
Okay. He took a different path.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is he proud of you guys? Is he
yes,
like,
sir.
Yeah?
Yes, sir. He was posting stuff. We were on the radio earlier this morning, too, and he was over posting it, and I saw it come on my phone, tag me in and stuff like that, so. Mm-hmm.
That's nice, man.
Oh, yeah.
That is nice. Yes, you guys are having a great, you're excellent musicians.
Oh, thank you.
And so that's first thank of all, but you also have such a great vibe. You're great performers and everything. I can't remember... I think it might have been like Celeste that told me to come see you guys.
Oh, yeah. Or something. She's cool.
Yeah, she's very cool. Oh, yeah. You guys are continuing that Monday residency
every
Monday, 6:30 at the Continental Club.
Yes, sir.
You enjoying that?
It was fun.
And now you finally have an album out.
Finally.
Yes, yeah.
Yes, sir.
And you're just going around talking to people about it, I bet. Mm-hmm. Are you tired of it yet?
No, it's cool. I mean, we've been doing this for about 7 years and haven't had an album, so...
You guys are, like, seasoned pros, but, like, Alex, you're still in high school, man.
Yes,
and Glenn, did you do well in school? Did you have good grades, Glenn?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
I guess well enough to get into a college and stuff.
Yeah, I'm on an academic scholarship, so it's all covered, so...
Wow.
Yes, sir.
So, So you plan on going through the whole 4 years and everything. This isn't, like, just something to make your mom and dad...
Oh, no, I'm definitely going. I mean, this is the place, and it's always cool to land the place that your first option. This is my first option, a place to go, and I got it. So that was cool.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's talk about this record. It was produced by Michael Freeman.
Yes, sir.
He's a Grammy-winning guy. Mm-hmm. He did that Attached at the Hip album, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yes, that's a great album. So how did you get hooked up with him?
At Pine Top's birthday, the 96th or 97th birthday?
It had to be his... It probably had to be his
97 or not. I don't know. It
one
was,
of them.
It was one. It was like it was around 2010, 2011. It had to be around 2010 because it was right before he won the Grammy.
Okay.
So he won the Grammy in 2011, and that was like what, January, February when they do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we met him then, and He talked about wanting to do an album with us. We always kept in contact. We went in the studio a couple of times, did a couple of demos, just, you know, getting a feel for the studio and stuff. They're like, you know, a real studio to be in.
Right.
You know, on time and stuff like that. And it was cool. We just did that and finally did the actual recording between last August and September. It's been a year now. So
mm-hmm. Yeah, it takes that long. And it seems like there's a great push on this album. Mm-hmm. Like, it was very anticipated. Like, people were waiting for it. So that's good. There was a demand.
Cool part. Yeah, it was cool to actually get to. I'm actually glad we did wait a while to do. I mean, we waited about, you know, 4 years, 5 years into it to actually do it and release it because, you know, you
might not have been proud of it then. Yeah.
Like with this, I mean, it's been a year since I recorded it, but I mean, the way I played on it and the way I approached it, I'm still happy about it.
Okay, good. Yeah, because especially when you're young like that, you take these great leaps.
Mm hmm.
And that's the other thing I was going to ask you. I do know some guys that grew up as blues prodigies, you know, young guys that played the blues out. But as they got older, they got an affinity for other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of moved out of that direction. Are you pretty firmly planted now in trying to sort of express what you're trying to express it through the blues?
I think we're probably going to stay with what we do because I think the reason, too, is, I mean, you've been to a lot of shows, even a year ago. I think if you've been around a year, you've seen us around a year and a half. I mean, we throw so much other stuff into
it
we keep it, you know, we're able to keep, you know. I don't know, there's so much. I mean, if you're stuck to one style, I can see you, you know, wanting to venture out. But with us, like, you know, we have blues, soul, some jazz.
Yeah.
Fun, you know, a whole lot of fun.
And a lot of it's, you know, a lot of it, like, just connects.
Yeah, so a lot of it connects so well. And then it's like, you know, I could see you getting more one genre, but when you got three or four things going on, like we have, you know, going on throughout the show, it keeps you always excited and learning, so.
Yeah, that's great. That's really good. And let me ask you about making the album. Like, were you guys, how much did you write of the record?
About half of it.
Yeah,
yeah. And then all of it is arranged. Yeah, there's original arrangements and stuff we don't hear anybody else do. A lot of B-sides, a lot of stuff, you know, you can't really find anywhere.
Yeah, how do you? Since you do most of the singing. I mean, I've seen you sing a little bit, also, Alex. But Glenn, you do most of the singing. Do you write the lyrics?
Do you guys
share it?
It's all a joint, especially on the originals. It's all a joint. Well, even on the arrangements, it's all just joint, you know. Collaboration of it all, so
yeah, that's amazing.
It's really cool.
So when you went in to make the record, were you did you give yourselves parameters, or did you say like anything kind of goes while we're doing this record, sort of like feel wise and style wise, or did you kind of have an idea of what you were gonna do going?
I guess it's a combination of both. We had a main idea of what we were gonna go at, but in general, you know, especially since we're bringing in. Brought in two different guys that we don't normally use, you know. Mm-hmm. I guess things just, you know.
And then I think the
was that the organ player?
Yeah, the organ player and
who's
the drummer. James Pace, you know him, plays for Tommy Castro.
Oh, yeah.
And then Brady Blade. He's Brian Blade's brother.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's a pretty amazing drummer to have
even,
on your record.
Yeah, even Brady, he plays for like Emmylou Harris and a bunch of other people.
Tons of people.
Mm-hmm. It's actually funny. Whenever right after we recorded with him and we got home from Shreveport, he was on Jimmy Fallon with somebody else, like after he got, like 3 days after he got out the studio with us.
That's
so
cool. It makes you feel like, yeah, man, we're in the game.
Oh yeah, he's
like, that's our guy. He's their guy.
Yeah,
we're one person removed from Jimmy Fallon's show.
Oh yeah, I think he's good friends with Question, all of them too. Because I remember he said he was hanging out with them like right before he saw us, like a month before that. He was like down in Florida with him or something.
He has a strong tie to Austin. Folks,
mm-hmm.
Doesn't he?
I think he's a good. He's good friends with Brandon. I think that's actually how we met him the first time. So.
Right.
Yeah.
I know he's good friends with Charlie and Will Sexton too.
Oh yeah. Exactly.
So do you guys did your record at his studio in Shreveport?
His studio. We laid the bass tracks there. Like we laid the
drums and bass.
Yeah, we laid the guitar. We laid the rhythm tracks there. I guess is how you say it. And then we did some vocals and some other, you know, anything else we wanted to add guitar wise and bass wise. We added a little bit of overdubs and stuff like that over at Arlen.
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm.
So man, that's a nice studio to get to. You guys went first class all the way.
Mm-hmm.
it feels good, doesn't it?
And I think the cool thing about doing the whole thing with Michael too is he didn't have his, you know, it wasn't like we had to do anything a certain way. He said, y'all do what y'all do as long as y'all do it clean and I'll handle it on the producing end. And then just, you know, it wasn't like going in and saying, you're going to do this.
Right.
You know,
he didn't lay some trip on you. He just wanted to bring you guys out.
Exactly.
Yeah, so that's that great. Was the that best just part, makes the hair on my arm stand up. I'm glad that happened for you.
Exactly.
You. Especially so when you're young and stuff, you know, sometimes you can get into something.
And people want to tell you because I've seen it happen. Yeah, exactly.
Me too. Me too. And you guys have gotten to play with some pretty heavy dudes. Yes, sir. Like,
yes, sir.
I mean, there's that beautiful picture on Facebook with B.B. King. You guys opened for him?
Mm-hmm.
How was that?
Sir. That was cool. That was our first... I think that was our first huge opening show where everybody knows. I mean, because, I mean, we did some stuff around here, but I think B.B. King was, like, one of the first huge, huge ones with, like, a packed, sold-out house and all that. So
yeah, where was that?
Actually focused,
yeah, you know? And everybody, and that was over Green Hall.
Oh, wow.
We've done a lot of big opening shows over at Green Hall, so we thank them for that. That was, they gave us a lot of opportunities to open for some big people. So.
Yeah. It's important, man, you know, it's important to... I talk about it with people all the time on the show, and one thing is, like, it's important to be really good at what you do. Mm-hmm. That really is important. But you also have to be, like, a good hang, or it's not worth having you around. Because I'd rather have someone that wasn't a virtuoso that was fun to hang out with
than
someone that's a jerk.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, no matter how good they are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So who else have you opened for? Let's talk about that. Wait. Did B.B. King lay any? Did he? I mean, now he's gone. I mean, that's heavy.
That's crazy.
What
yeah,
did he say? Crazy. Did he lay any
we got
knowledge
to hang out
on
with
you?
Him on his bus, like, right after he played, and it was cool. Actually, was it Connie that ended up coming, like, a little bit through it? Like, Connie ended up coming on the bus, Connie Nelson?
Yeah, uh-huh. Her and
Ann wasn't there. She wasn't there. It was somebody else. It was one of her other friends. But, yeah, she ended up coming in there and hanging out, too, and it was cool. But, like, he was just, you know... His words of encouragement and just, you know, stories and stuff like that was just cool.
That's awesome.
And since we all knew, like, Pine Top and Willie, too.
Yeah, exactly.
You guys know Willie?
Oh, yeah, Willie Big Eye Smith.
Oh, I thought you meant Willie Nelson.
We opened for him, yeah, last year.
Yeah. How was that?
That was cool. That was over at the backyard. It was his 81st birthday. It was his daughter and her friend playing before us, then we played, and then he came on with the family.
Was it Paula? The girl that plays the ukulele?
Yes.
Yeah, those guys are great.
Yeah.
So did you talk to him?
We didn't get to talk to him for too long because I think they had it set up pretty tight where we met him right before he went on.
Right.
And we had just got off, but we still got to go on the bus and take pictures and, you know, say what's up. And then we saw Lucas and everybody else too, and it was cool.
Lucas has been doing well, man. They played on that Neil Young album.
Oh, yeah, he sounds great, too. Awesome. Even his solo stuff, like, he's been trying to put out, too. It sounds great.
Yeah?
Yeah, he's cool.
You get to sit in, both of you guys get to sit in and play. Did you play with Buddy Guy? I saw some pictures of that.
Mm-hmm. That was here in Austin.
Jeez, man, that was awesome. How was that?
That was over at the Moody. That was pretty cool. That was really cool. Mm-hmm. We weren't expecting to do it. Tim Austin, his drummer, hooked all that up.
So you weren't expecting to do it. So how soon before you did it did you find out you were doing it?
We had seen him, like, I think once or twice in Austin before that. And Tim is always like, bring your guitar because you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And so this time we just ended up coming. And then we were standing, you know, backstage just watching the show. And they ended and then Buddy was like, oh, man, I forgot to bring y'all up. Y'all want to go back up? And we were just like, sure. And it just ended up happening. He came back on stage and brought us out. And we played about two songs.
Something like that.
So, yeah, I just turned 15. So,
wow.
Yes, sir.
What's going through your head when he points at you to do a solo, Glenn?
Oh, that was crazy.
What's the first thought? Like, no. Or are you like, all right, here we go?
Yeah, pretty much. Everything. I mean, the only reason we even do this is because we have so much fun. So it's just like, let's go, let's do it. But yeah, it's cool. And anytime we sit in with people, like, we're like, you know, it's more of like a support thing. Make the band sound good. Don't step on anybody's toes. So, you know, I just wait for him to give me the solo. And whenever he said it, I was like, all right, let's do it. I'm up here. So,
yeah, that's awesome. What other kind of jams like that have you gotten to do? I love hearing about this stuff.
What other jams we got to do?
So I was like jamming with a big artist.
Yeah. What were you doing with in photos with Bootsy?
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Alex, man, did you jam with him?
Basically what happened is... no, but what happened was we were on the John Lennon tour, educational tour bus that has a recording studio on it.
Yeah.
And us and some other college students, we recorded a track, and then Bootsy was having a show that night.
over at the Moody. That was theater. That was before Buddy Guy, right?
I think so.
It was like a year before. No, yeah. A couple months before that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Bootsy comes on the bus, and we got to meet him and everything like that. And that he's one of the main reasons why I started playing bass, so it was awesome
yeah.
to really get to meet him. And
then on that night. And he,
Then he invited us all to come to the show that night. And
we how cool is that? Actually, we were going, actually, since that, we're going to Cincinnati in a couple of weeks, I think. We're going to Cincinnati.
Yeah, yeah, I saw that.
We're going to Cincinnati in a couple of weeks to do something for his foundation. So actually, with that and them playing together, that might happen. So,
wow.
Yeah, that might happen. But yeah, that's cool. But Bootsy, he's been a good family friend. And even when he's come in town, like on the Experience Hendrix tour, and when he came back, even for his own solo show after that, that particular show when we first met him, we're always get to be there and talk to him.
He has your number?
Mom's number? My mom and his wife talk. They're the most down-to-earth people.
How cool is that?
Yeah.
Yeah, my mom's just on the phone with Bootsy's wife.
She'll
make us breakfast in a minute.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to hanging out with him.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, because they are the coolest people. I mean, especially for everything he's done, and everybody knows, you know, from working with, you know, all the, you know, pretty big, much biggest names in hip hop. You know, he calls them all nephew. They all call him uncle. You know, it's like, you
Does
know,
he call you guys nephew.
Yeah,
that was awesome. A trip.
But yeah, he's he's cool. He's just the coolest. I mean, him and his wife. But to be as big as him and what everybody knows and what he's done, him and his wife are two of the most down-to-earth people you'll ever meet. It's ridiculous. It's crazy.
It's interesting when you meet, like, the real deal guys are just, like, real deal people as well.
Exactly.
You know, they're not just the real deal musician. I mean, sometimes you meet somebody that's kind of out there and you're like, come on.
I don't think we've had that yet.
That's good.
Yeah, everybody's been
hopefully
pretty nice.
You'll never,
yeah.
Hopefully you'll just go through life getting back the thing that you guys put out, which is kindness.
Oh, man, thank
you. And real raw talent.
Man, thank you.
Yeah, I don't want to seem like I'm kissing up to you guys.
No,
too
it's
much
all good, man. Well, we appreciate that. I mean, it's encouraging. I mean, it shows that we know what we're doing is actually, going up there and having fun, because that's what we see, too. I mean, there are some people that, you know, get up on stage, don't smile or do nothing. It's like, but if you're doing it and you're happy to do it, you know, might as well just get up there and just, you know, clown around and goof off, have fun.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's pretty much what we do.
It's called playing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, we're lucky, you know, like, you know, I'm sure you guys, you're making a living in a way doing this, right? I mean, I don't know if you...
Sure.
Like, what do you do with your money? Do you just, like...
Save it up. Mm. Just save it up. And, I mean, anytime we can do something for a good cause, too, you know, money's not an issue. So, you know, anytime we can do something, you know, to give back, we're always doing that. So, I mean...
That's important, you know, because we do have this gift. And all we have to do is just go play somewhere, and it'll help somebody out. That's awesome. It's not like we have to go dig a ditch or build a house or something. We get to actually just go play somewhere. It's pretty nice.
Definitely.
So you put out this record, and you've been doing tons of press, and people are fascinated with your age, right, and your talent. That's what the publicist would be like, oh, that's the angle. You know, these guys are – and not only that, but, you know, you're extremely talented. But extremely talented for your age. What's it like playing in bars? I did it.
Oh, yeah.
But you tell me what it's like. I did it before you were supposed to be in there, too. Like, you come in and do your thing with your big X's on your hands, and then you leave. But, like, you can't tell your friends to come to the Continental Club happy hour.
Since we've been there 3 years, I mean, I think they're more, like, if they're with their parents, they say, y'all go ahead and come in for our show. But as soon as, I think as soon as, you know, we finish and Dale comes, as soon as it, like, is on kids, especially, like, out.
Yeah, Dale Watson's going on stage. You guys can't even see this.
can't remember, since we've been playing Continental, did they even ever put X's on our hands?
I don't even think that, like, maybe in the first couple of months, but after.
You look 20 years younger than everybody there.
Yeah, but then we're not worried about it. Our parents are always with us, so, I mean, you know, it's cool. I mean, it's a family thing, you know.
That's awesome. I mean, you gotta be grateful to those parents that they go every week. They go to every show.
Week. And then Dad's working too. That's why Dad's not here right now. He's usually here, but he works over at Toyota and Bastrop.
Oh, yeah,
so,
yeah.
Yeah.
I saw that you guys did an interview in that conference room. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's always a good place to go. So
So it is. It's okay. Going. Sorry, I was gonna go into another thing, but I wanted to make sure that I covered everything because I did have a question about your like at school. Do people know you're the Peterson brothers? Like, are they like? They like? Oh shit, man! Here comes these guys. they've got it going on, you know.
No, not really. I mean, like, I got a couple of my friends that know, and then a couple of my friends come out too. Same thing with him, but I mean, nobody just like.
Like it's not like we just know, walk around. Like they know, they like, know that we play music, but I guess they don't know at the level of what we.
Yeah,
do, of
sometimes
how we do
people
things,
see me
you know?
Gone, and then sometimes people see me gone, and then like. Then one or two of my friends will be like, "Oh, you don't know where he's at."
Yeah.
So
yeah.
But
he's in Ohio playing the Bootsy Collins.
Exactly. Like we actually missed like weeks of school this past semester. Like we were on a cruise 1 full week of the Blues Cruise.
Oh, the Blues Cruise.
Yeah.
How was that?
That was cool. Awesome. They had like Shamika Copeland, Bobby Rush. Who else was on there? Sip, Tab Dunois. Lucky
wow,
Peterson.
That was cool. We jamming with him. That was that was awesome.
Yeah, what were the jams like on that thing?
Oh, start at 11 at night, end at 7 in the morning, and go get breakfast. and everybody go sleep for like 4 hours and then go play their set.
And then either hang out around the boat or go back to sleep, you know.
What an education.
Exactly. Yeah, that was fun.
Wow.
Oh, Cyril Neville was on there too.
Whoa.
Yeah,
did
Cyril
you jam
Neville.
With him? He's the percussionist guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know if we got to jam with him, but he came and watched us. He came and watched us because we got off the boat and we played played on port in Mexico.
Okay.
And him and his wife were hanging out watching us, and that was really cool.
I think they were in the theater too.
Oh yeah, and they came and saw us in the theater too. Yeah, he came out to support a lot of the times we performed. It was cool. And they're another two people that's just really down to earth. It's super nice.
Was everyone else like his age that was on the cruise? And then just you guys were like,
yeah.
I mean, there's just like a lot of older people in general. And I was the only minor on the boat.
Yeah, because I was 18 at the time. Right, but yeah, I mean, like it was him, then me, then probably the next biggest age was like what 30. Like, or almost 30, like, maybe. It had to be Stanley, and he's probably 26. Well, Stanley and Chris, our drummer, and he's they're both, like 26. Yeah. So,
wow.
Like, I was the only, like, I think the
we're the only two people under 21.
Even at that, like, the lady that runs, like, the day, I guess, like, a daycare portion of the boat or something like that, she said she's looking at the computer system, and it came up where they said there was one minor on the boat.
You.
It was me.
You're performing.
Yes, sir.
So. She didn't make you go to daycare?
No.
When everyone else was taking their nap? So, you guys have a big year coming up. I mean, you have a lot of... I was looking at your calendar, and you seem to be making it back for the Mondays. Mm-hmm. Always there
for
that.
Yeah, we
make
sure try to do that. Yeah. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Those things have to... You got to keep it consistent. When, you know, when you worry about missing a week, and will everyone forget that you were there? But in September, you're also going to Virginia...
Yes, sir.
You're going to Ohio. You're going to Arkansas.
And we're back in Arkansas about once or twice more in October. Mm-hmm. So,
when you guys go to Virginia, I see you're doing a number of dates. Are you touring with someone there?
No, it's just that, and then just us doing some club dates and then a festival. So
when you do those club dates, because I know, like, I mean, on a financial level, it's tough to go out and do like 45 minutes and make a living at the level that you guys are at right now. Mm-hmm. So are you going and playing like three sets in places or kind of like...
Either one like hour and a half, like okay. One like 190 or like 275s or 250s or something like that. Just, you know, like I said, we love doing this. So, I mean, it's not a job to us. I mean, we just go how long we have to play, you know, just think about what we're going to do for the set and just do it.
But have you guys done like these kind of shows like out at like, I want to say a place like Ski Shores or something? Is that a place that you do like three sets? You play, you know, from like 7 to 10 or something, or 7 to 11, or you know what I mean?
Oh, Green Hall. Yeah. Green Hall is like that. The Sunday gigs.
Okay.
Like the opening gigs, you know, 45 minutes, right, 30, right. 45 minutes. But like those gigs are like four and a half.
And which do you prefer? Because you guys seem like you love to play. I'd almost expect that you would love to do... Mm-hmm. A four-set gig more than a 30-minute set.
I think those 275s are really nice. Like the 260s are really, really nice.
Yeah, that's like the perfect.
Yeah, and then 275s are cool. And then even longer gigs, they're cool. I mean, it's just like we have material. So it's, you know, material. And then we both play. There's not somebody up there just singing. So it's like, no, we're just jamming. There's somebody just standing up there, you know. We both sing, both play. So it's like, you know, we can get up there and jam some instrumentals. Mm-hmm. And if the crowd's always changing, we can do some of our favorites that we like to do and then throw some more singing ones back in there. Or like our originals, or like plug stuff from the album. So it's, you know.
You know how to do it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's cool. Definitely.
And it's cool that you guys started out, you know, so young, because at this point you do know how to structure a set. Because that was one thing. Do you put your sets together? Nobody comes in and says, like, you do your own. Okay.
Yeah.
Because that was one thing that I noticed when I saw you guys even last year, was just, these guys know how to put a show together. Like, this is a show. Yes, how much do you change it every week when you're doing the weekly show? Like, how?
It just depends. I mean, it really is whatever we feel like doing. Sometimes we'll do the... And we never play the song the same way twice. And then, you know, you said you've seen us a year ago. So, yeah. I mean, you've even seen what we do, throwing the Howl players in the middle of a song. Or Curtis Mayfield in the middle of a song. So, I mean, even when we do that, those might not even be the same. So, it's like we never play a song the same way twice. So, it might be the same set. We might take it out some different songs. We might do a song that we do in the middle first, or, you know.
Right, but you keep it fresh in some way. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
And so that's a little different, though. Like, when you go on tour, you can kind of refine this one thing that kind of works.
Mm-hmm.
But would you still change it up every night, even if you were in a different place?
Again, it's just depending on how we feel. And, like, if we want to say, well, let's do this one tonight, then we'll just, you know, one, two, three, let's do it. So.
Yeah. But you're right now, I mean, the main thing is you're pushing this record.
Yes, sir.
And it's been out for a couple weeks. This might either come out this Friday, or if it doesn't, because I wrote to your management to find out if it was cool to put it on with another person. But if not, it's going to come out in a couple weeks. But you're going to be playing this Saturday, August 22nd, at the Mucky Duck in Houston. That's a great place. Sir.
Oh, yeah, we haven't been there yet.
You haven't been there yet? Yeah, that's a great club.
Out there, yeah. Nice. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, people are. I'll post a thing and let people know, because we got a lot of listeners in Houston. But
Nice.
Yeah, and it's that's a great place, you guys. I mean, I guess I've played kind of a rock show there, but I'm not. They keep it kind of on the mellow. Are you doing full on electric?
Yeah, I think we're doing full on electric, just 3-piece band.
Are you doing two set or two, like, two shows? Because sometimes they do that, like, they clear the room, they do like 7:30 show.
How long is the set for Mucky Duck?
90 minutes.
Okay, so one long one. So 90 minutes are cool.
Yeah, so if you miss that, I bet they're gonna ask you back. I bet everywhere you play, they ask you back. Is that a thing? Do they?
Because
you guys are cool and you're great.
Most of the time, yeah. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
How about that airport gig? I saw a video of you guys playing out there. Do you guys play?
That's a cool one. We usually do that during the summer. We'll do it occasionally whenever they have us. I mean, they like having us over there. We like being over there. It's a nice, chilled out gig, you know, relaxed, and it's cool.
Yeah. I bet it's a good band to have in that situation, because people coming in from Austin, you're impressive and you play a style of music that they would want to hear when they're, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
When they're sitting down and grabbing a taco there. Because you guys played that big stage. I guess I have played that stage. I haven't done that airport gig in a while.
And then it's cool now, too, because they've got backline, so I just walk in with...
Awesome.
They have back line now, so you can just walk in. They even have a drum set and everything. Just walk in and play.
Exactly. That's good, because the whole, like, trying to bring your stuff through the security
can be a little tough. Yeah. But, now it's even better, so it's even more enjoyable. You just get to walk in and do it.
So. Yeah. So what's next creatively for you guys? Do you guys write constantly? Mm-hmm. You're always working on something. Where do you guys rehearse? At your place?
Yeah, just in the front room at the house, or just front room, bedroom, just anywhere. Just walk around with a guitar at the house. Always playing music. Always either got vinyl on or have, you know, phone playing through the speakers. Always got music playing at the house, loud. So always that. I mean,
was it like that growing up? Did your parents do that? Is that what turned you on to it?
Not even really. I mean, it wasn't a lot, you know, loud music through the house till we started.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things. Actually, the story we tell everybody is that my mom and grandma used to go to a bunch of garage sales, and like, my dad used to have a record collection back in the day. I think he said it got stolen at some point, and otherwise that would have been mine, and I wish I would have had that. Because some of the stuff he said he had would have been cool. But so it was just a big box of records. I mean, there was, like, everything from, you know, rap records to just a bunch of just, you know, it was just assortment, just a bunch of different stuff. And we had one of those, like, in-one turntables where you open it up and the speaker's connected already. So the first things I picked out of all those records was Earth, Wind, and Fire, B.B. King, Isley Brothers, and Brothers Johnson.
Yeah.
So...
I love the Brothers Johnson.
Oh, me too. Yeah. Me too.
I grew up I mean, I had an aunt that was really into soul music, but otherwise, like, all I heard, I mean, I did hear Earth, Wind & Fire, but I never heard, like, the guys that they played on the more urban radio station, like the actual R&B stations. Mm-hmm. And then it seemed like when I was a little kid and whenever I'd turn it on there, I'd always hear, like, Hall & Oates and stuff on there.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Isn't that weird? So vinyl. So you guys listen to records mostly?
Oh yeah, I got we listen between both. I mean, whatever I find it on. First, if I find something on vinyl, I'll buy it there, but then chances are too, if I buy something digital or on a CD, I will go back and buy the vinyl too, just because I like how it sounds.
Yeah,
and you know, I just like having it. And
so are you guys both collecting like old music?
Mm-hmm, yeah, I've got
like the music that started this.
Yeah, because I've been going back. Because we've been going back through it because we finally got, you know, this last probably week and a half, 2 weeks, we've been home long enough for me to actually go back through it. But I think we've got like 4 or 5 stacks just this big of different vinyl records. And actually, like, I think the newest one I just bought was Sly and the Family Stone Fresh.
Oh, yeah, that's
with If You Want Me to Stay and all that on it, yeah.
In Case Sarah Sarah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I got,
Man, that first song that that song is awesome. But in that, time.
Yes. Oh yeah, but the other night I was listening to Isley Jasper Isley, like Caravan of Love and all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was listening to that. I had on the Bar Case. I had
Soulfinger? Like that sings Soulfinger?
That's the early Bar Case. Okay. I'm talking the later one, like the mm-hmm. hardcore, like funk. Barkey, like late 70s.
Yeah. It's the same band?
Yeah,
but,
same band. But it's a little bit different lineup because I remember like they were Otis Redding's backing band. There's that story where that plane crash happened and most of them passed.
Right, right.
Except for like, I think it was like the trumpet player.
The bass player.
And the bass player. I think they might have been the only two that live. So then they started it and they had another Barkey and this Barkey was like its own, you know, it wasn't just a backing band for Stax. It was actually a full-on.
Aren't you glad you grew up in the era of the internet? Imagine if you wanted to find, I mean, because obviously you probably spend a lot of time, every time you hear someone, you're Googling, and then you find out someone else's name attached to BB King. Exactly. What did that guy do?
And of course, that started out with, because I was so young, I wasn't really using the internet hard. That started out with, I mean, I just found, it was actually funny, because I found out about Stevie Ray and Jimi Hendrix through Freddie King and Albert Collins and all that. I knew I had the knowledge of all of them first before I found them. So it was weird. I kind of went back.
Wow, you
and
did.
Then, you know, but it's cool. But like I said, like I think my biggest influence had to be probably like, you know, Ernie Isley, which we got to meet him over at NAMM. And for me, you know, him and B.B. King and, you know, like, well, I mean, I couldn't have met Eddie Hazel because he died in the 90s. But like him and B.B. King, you know, being the first two guitar players I was aware about, I was just like meeting them is just like, man. And Ernie was really nice, too. And but yeah, like him, Johnny Guitar Watson, Albert Collins, Freddie King, Luther Allison.
Yeah.
But yeah, we just got a bunch of vinyl at home. This is a bunch of different stuff.
Do you spend a lot of time over at Antone's Records finding stuff?
That's a great record store. I haven't been to Antone's in a while, but we did find some good stuff. I got like a couple of T-Bone Walker albums over there. Last time I went over there. It's been a while. I'm trying to remember what I got over there, but...
You know, it's a great place, too, that's not here. It's in Houston, but do you guys ever play Continental Club in Houston?
We haven't been
yet.
Oh. In the Houston one yet.
When you do, there's a place next door called Sig's Lagoon. That's awesome.
Oh, I've heard about that place.
Yeah.
I need to go over
there.
Great
store. Also, do you go to, like, the record convention?
I haven't been to that either.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't been to that either. I need to go.
I'd like to go with you guys and see, like, get guided, because I don't know that much about the blues, man. I was, like, into, like... 60s pop music and 70s pop music, mm-hmm. and then the 80s is when I became a musician and I was into what was happening then. Although a lot of my friends, you know, like Ian Moore,
mm-hmm.
guys like that, were really into the blues and stuff like that. I was just kind of, I don't know what I like keyboards and stuff. But anyway, it's amazing though that you guys have like this knowledge and this, you know, you're listening to it on vinyl. Do you listen to Spotify or anything like that? Do you do that? At all?
I don't do the streaming too hard because if I'm at home, I'll either just get on YouTube and then, you know, streaming costs a lot on the phone bills. So, mainly, I mean, then too, if I hear something, I'm going to hear and then I'm going to go and buy it. Like, I've never gotten music for free. Like, I probably spent a ton of money on music, like on buying music. So, I got a ton of stuff. I think even when we do our Waterloo in store, we walked out with like what more? Yeah. The first two Morris Day and the Time albums.
Oh yeah.
Sly. We walked out with the Roots new album, which I've heard parts of it, but I haven't heard the thing in whole. So I was there and I saw it and I bought it. We bought it.
We got the what else we get? P-Funk All Stars Live.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's awesome.
That 2-disc. I got this 4-disc Charles Mingus. CD collection.
Are you into the deep jazz stuff?
Oh yeah,
like the bebop and
yeah.
The old.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, like George Benson too. Like George Benson, Kenny Burrell, Grover Washington. Yeah, all that stuff. Miles Davis. That's all cool stuff too. And Miles too, because you play saxophone. So mm-hmm. Yeah. So
you actively play saxophone?
Yes, sir.
Alex?
Yes, sir.
Wow. And you guys started off on violin?
I started on violin.
And I was a guitar player.
Okay. So you just always have the same girlfriend.
Hey, yep.
I still play violin too, but...
Yeah.
But
do you do it on anything?
I mean, actually, on that last track on Amazing Grace,
that's
I play
the first
violin.
Song.
Oh, that's you.
Yeah, that's the first song we learned together.
Okay. Yeah, I read that somewhere.
There. Yep.
That's amazing. Do you guys have girlfriends? You don't even have time, do you?
It's not something we don't have, like I said, we're doing this. This is pretty much our thing.
Busy, so.
Yeah. Let's see. You know who One Direction is, obviously, right?
Oh, yeah, we know. Yeah, okay. I'm familiar with all the music today. I just, I have my preferences.
Well, no, I was going to say something socially that mm-hmm. happened with that band. Zayn left. I don't know if you know the news, but
oh yeah, I remember that. I remember hearing about that. Okay. Yeah, I remember hearing about that. I
can't believe I'm having everyone that's listening to the show, like from the Continental Club, is like, "What is he doing?"
Like teenage girls got really mad or something like that.
Well, they got mad, but the thing is, I read this thing where Zayn was like, "I just want to live the life of a normal dude my age." Do you guys ever? That. And I'm not saying that it would be wrong of you to ever like just one day you'd be like. This Monday, I'd like to stay home and watch American Ninja Warrior with my friends and talk on the phone with some girl and not have to go to work at the Continental Club. I know it's called playing, and we love what we do.
Oh, yeah.
Do those times ever creep up, or you're just you'd much rather do that, wouldn't you?
I think, all my friends are gone. So they all have lives now. They moved to college. Everybody's an hour away. But no, but mainly my deal is, and I know it's for both of us too, it's like we didn't come from a musical family. Nobody in our family plays music, sings or anything. And nobody pushed us to do it. So I mean, this is pretty much just what we do.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's not even a big deal to us. And I mean, for them, I could see where he's coming from because, at that age, you have the paparazzi,
bit different of it. Like, you live at your house, you're in your town.
Yeah,
you
go to high school. I'm still going to high school.
Right. Yeah. You're not out on the road for 1 year with just constant photos being taken of you.
Even if I was out on the road for a year.
That'd be awesome.
That would be, but
there's people that are cool with the work and they it's not even so much the end result. It's like getting to do what you mm-hmm. do in the moment that you're doing it, mm-hmm. living in the moment.
And I think for us, like I said, we love the music so much that all the other stuff, especially, for guys like that, I could see it's hard because, you're with a group of other guys, but, even if they were your best friends, it's not like having your family member there.
Of course.
And having your brother there and then your mom and dad, constantly right there, it just keeps you super grounded. And yeah. Even if we were at that spot, I don't think anything would be different about it because it would just be like, the only person I'm dealing with is my brother, my mom, and my dad, and it's cool.
Yeah.
So.
And you have a nice team working with you, right?
Yes, sir.
You got
yes,
a good sir. Manager yes, and booking people looking out for you.
Mm-hmm.
And
mom.
And your mom.
Yeah, mom and dad.
That's them?
Yeah,
they do everything.
Yeah, mom and dad is doing everything. Mom is managing, helps in the booking and all that. And then Cash and Michael have been. We just added Cash and to the mix. Having all the publicists work and stuff like that. And she's doing a great job with it. Very thankful for her. She's very supportive too. She's been coming out to
That's
all the
great.
Shows. She's cool. And then of course Michael, believing in us for 5 years because mm-hmm. her 5 years in the future, you know, 4 years in the future, he didn't even know if we were still going to be playing music.
Exactly. Right.
And I mean,
that's a risk you take when you're working with people like that young, because like exactly. I was saying before, you know, you don't have any plans on abandoning the blues. You know what you're doing. Mm-hmm. You've developed a show that is entertaining, and within that show, you can change whatever you want and.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a magical thing.
And even with that, we're not trying to work too hard, because I mean, really, all we do is go up there and we have fun, and we don't. I think it's more work to hide that you're having fun and like not smiling than it is to just, you know, go ahead, crack a smile, and start laughing. And I mean, for that, I think that's what people enjoy about it, and that's why we're not even up there having to work hard. You know, yeah, have a bunch of like. I mean, we do have some moves and stuff like that, but we're not gonna have a whole bunch of moves where we're thinking about it too hard. We're just up there jamming pretty much every time we get up there.
Yeah, so, the real deal.
Yes, sir.
You know what's awesome? I was just thinking how great those Monday nights are, because you can go and see you guys, and then Dale plays, yeah, but then Dale. Also you could go see Elias upstairs.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
And then Money Chicha has been playing upstairs later. You could actually go to Continental Club from like 6:30 till 2 in the morning if you wanted to, and just have a really good time.
Good music. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They should have a hamburger place in there, so you can get something to eat while you're there. Oh, they have barbecue sometimes in the back, but not every night.
I think so. I think they might have them in the big shows.
Yeah.
I heard something about that.
I had no idea.
But, I mean, that, and there's so many places close by. I mean, go across the street, next door both ways. I mean, it's...
Yeah. So what are you guys going to do today after you leave here?
Go just home, like, and play music.
Yeah, I think awesome. I got to go to...
Oh, yeah, you have band camp.
I have to go to band camp, so...
Yep, he's in marching band. I did marching band 4 years, too, so... He's in his third year.
And you're doing saxophone in the marching band?
Actually, this year, because of my schedule and all that, it'd be, like, things, since I wouldn't be there for, like, a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
They don't want a hole in the field during the show, you know, because if there's a hole right there, since I'm not there, then I think it can probably mess with some people that, you know, that rely on looking at other people to figure out where they're supposed to be in the show.
Right.
So what they decided to do is, and what we agreed, I guess, is that I'm just going to play bass and fun ensemble, actually.
Okay.
So,
but then they still let you take the saxophone, too.
And they still let me play my saxophone.
Like, and you'll be doing saxophone concert.
Yeah, once concert season starts up, I'll play. Yeah. I'll go
I bet you're better
saxophone.
Than everyone. I don't mean that bad.
I don't think anybody plays bass.
I don't think there's any.
I don't mean
players.
That bad. I just mean you're out there doing it at a different level than the other people. You know what I mean? Like when you're in high school and you're out there at a place that's making money off of you being there, you're at a different level.
Yeah, and I think too, then playing
than a dude in his room.
Then playing live is definitely is completely different.
And then even with like saxophone too, it's like. My thing is, with the kind of music that I listen to and taking what I do on bass too, I transfer a lot of that to saxophone too. So there's a lot of like people that in our age group in general that don't know and do that.
Right.
You know.
Well, then too, I mean, it's not a band or a thing. It's okay. Yeah, exactly. It's okay to take it to the next level.
It's okay.
Especially for horn players. Cause, I mean, if you find a good horn player, like good horn players, keyboard players, bass players, drummers get work. All the time.
Yes, they do.
Like, you know, you cannot be famous, play in Austin or in Texas in general and make a living easy, pay your health and pay everything.
Yeah.
Especially if you're good, because it's stuff that people don't normally play.
And stay this nice.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Easy to work with.
Yeah, easy to work with.
Exactly.
I'm going to ask you one more thing, and this is kind of a heavier thing, okay? There's a long line. There's this the kind of music that you play there's a tradition to it.
Yeah.
And it's passed down from generation to generation. And the generation right before you is so close. Gary is only, you know, 10 years older than you or something.
Something like that. 19,
12 years old or something.
29, 30, well, he's about 32. 12,
he's 12
he
years
like 12
old.
Or 13.
Yeah.
That's not a lot, though.
That's not a lot.
Our older brother's 26.
Like, so the difference in age between him and Stevie was huge.
Mm-hmm.
So
30 and 50, yeah.
Yeah, so 50-something. This is passed down, and then we live in this town where this is the kind of music. This is our town's thing, is, you know, although we have other bands that have gone off and
but
done
the
stuff.
The biggest ones have been, like, Stevie.
The tradition Gary, of this town is the guitar guy, Doyle, Stevie, Jimmy, Gary, all these guys. Now it's being passed down. You guys are currently the Fresh Torch holders. Is there pressure?
No,
sir. Like I said, it's us up there having fun, yeah, so we don't even. Exactly. That's just the best way to describe it. We're just doing what we do. So, I mean, we're just doing it because we have fun. I mean,
but you're cognizant that people are like, okay, you're. I mean, everything I was reading about you guys, I mean, basically everything's like, okay, you're next.
Oh, yeah. It's, like I said, it's cool. I mean, to be able to, and then to, you know, getting the opportunity to be able to take it to that next level and, you know, getting to travel out. Like I said, we're just having so much fun keeping our parents right there with us. And I mean, it's all jokes on the road. It's all having fun, you know.
I'm very happy about
it's
that.
It's just cool. It's just a family thing. And yeah. It's cool. It's really cool.
You guys are cool. Yeah, thank you. You guys are the real deal. And you guys are just as nice as everyone said you were.
Yeah,
everyone was like, these guys are so nice. You're going to love them. Yeah.
Thank you.
So, is there anything that I'm missing? People need to get out and pick up this album. It is called The Peterson Brothers. You can find out all about them at petersonbrothersband.com. You are on Instagram, Facebook,
Twitter,
YouTube. Got some good YouTube videos, some nice interviews there as well, which I watched.
Yes,
and let's see. I'm going to read these things real fast and make sure I'm not missing anything. No. I don't think so, except a big shout-out to Michael Hale, who I love, and I've loved for a long time.
Yeah, Michael's the man. Yeah. We just saw him two days ago. Yeah. I can't think today's Monday, so I would say yesterday,
I saw him yesterday at this HEB.
Oh, for real?
I thought I saw him across the store.
Yeah, but he's cool, though. We actually play in a band with him right now. It's a gospel band.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's a gospel band. It's like Staples Singers type stuff. It's him, Angie Kogis, Cherie Smith, Ben Brockovich on keys, and me and Alex.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and then Nick Conley plays keys sometimes too, occasionally. It's a gospel band, Staples Singers type stuff, and just roots gospel stuff. So
amazing.
It's cool.
So do you guys credit him with kind of like opening a door for you guys?
At Continental Club.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. He's the one that we played at the gallery first.
Right.
Because he had, you know, he had a night where he brings different people in, you know, that he gets to play with, and then he either backs them up doing their stuff or they do his stuff or whatever. And then they had like two Mondays open up down there, and I'm not sure, did he play those with us? Because I know he hasn't done them really whenever Chris or Nico can't make it either because he has rehearsals Monday. Mm-hmm. But he did those first two with us?
I think
he might have done the very first two we did with us.
You guys have done so much stuff. You can't even remember the gig you played with Michael Hale.
And then Continental, too, though, that's been going on. I think that we're going on 3 years. We just passed the 3-year mark. So we've been doing that for a while. That was a while ago.
Yeah.
So.
Well, man, I wish you so much luck with this album. It was number one in Waterloo last week, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, congratulations.
That was surprising to hear. I was like, crazy. I mean, even to get to do the in store, because I remember walking in there, you know. Finding music,
it's like,
you know, being younger, because, I mean, I'm not that much older than I was back then, but, but I'm just like, if I ever do this, I'm definitely going to be way past 21, and then just, you know, sitting here a couple of years later doing the in-store, and them saying number one right after we do, I'm just like, wow. Man.
Congratulations, man. I wish you guys so much luck. I hope that everything goes really well. People, once again, go to petersonbrothersband.com for all your Peterson Brothers needs. Pick up the record where you can. And if you're in Austin, you can pick it up at Waterloo and probably Antone's Records and the other fine record stores here. If not, you can find it on iTunes.
Or we'll have them at the shows, too, with t-shirts.
And they have them at the
shows. T-shirts at the show, too. So.
Yeah, and if you live somewhere else and you can't make it on Mondays or to a show that they do in Austin especially, they will be traveling all over the country. You don't know where they're going to be. I don't know where you're going to be. You don't know where you're going to be. So you need to go to PetersonBrothersBand.com to find out everything. Thank you so much, Alex and Glenn.
Thank you.
Because you know you're my woman. Little girl and I'm your man.
Ah, the Peterson Brothers. I love those guys, man. Alex and Glenn. They're doing it, man. They're out there. They're such great people, man. What nice people they are. Got to thank their parents. I thank their mom. Their mom was here with them, stood up and walked over to her and said, thank you, lady. These are nice people, okay? These are the nicest guys. They're so super talented, and they're carrying on the tradition that this town has cultivated musically, the blues. for decades and decades, and it's been passed down and passed down, and now they've got the torch and they're running with it. So I can't think of it being in better hands than those guys, the Peterson brothers. Love them. All right, I want to thank those guys for coming by and taking the time to sit down and talk to me. I also want to thank Penelope Spheris and her daughter Anna Fox for talking to me on the show today. And I want to thank the Austin Film Society, Charlotte over there for setting it up, and also my friend Amy Edwards over there for being so nice and thinking about it and thinking about me when she knew they were coming to town, knowing I'd want to talk to them. So great big show, great big week, three shows. Crazy times, man. Get out there and buy that Mike Flanagan album. Pick up the Peterson Brothers album. A lot of albums coming out today. Got David Polkingham on Tuesday. So look for that. So yeah, thank you to the Peterson Brothers. Let's hear some more music from their self-titled album, which is out now. You can pick it up wherever great records are sold. All right? Self-titled debut, the Peterson Brothers. All right? Thank you so much for listening. Have a great weekend. Let's get down.
If you love me like you say, why you treat me like you do? If you love me like you say, why you treat me like you do? Well, I ain't no fool. Yeah, I'm cool, I know the rule. Say you never run around. Said you never stay out late. I know.